Remember to turn off the transcriber, please.
Yes. There. I think that's better. All right. Let's go again. Thank you for joining, and please sign the contributor agreement for making contributions. Today is interop week, which means that the normal agenda is that we run through interop pull requests, vocab pull requests, and then back to issues. However, before we launch today, there's been discussions about giving taking a break from these meeting sessions temporarily, and not because we want to stop progress, but really because the US government is craving a little bit extra attention these days. So it seems like there's general agreement in the various like offline forums that we should skip the next four meetings and just continue our work on emails and, well, not emails, on the issues and pull requests and Slacks and whatever. Not, we can always organize ad hoc meetings if needed. I don't know if anyone else, Ori, seems like you might want to pitch in on this.
I think we've sent an announcement to the list. The proposal is to skip the next couple meetings while we do some upfront planning around this and then to restart them as of the February 14th. So that would be basically just applying to these calls. So we have some time off until February 14th to get roadmaps in place and reassess everything. And in that meantime, of course, the mailing list and issues are would remain open. We just wouldn't be meeting for this hour between now and February 14th. And then starting February 14th, we would alternate vocab and interop calls just as we always have, hopefully with better long-term framing and positioning thanks to the time off and the time we have back to focus on that roadmapping activity. Since we've given that notice to the list and we haven't heard any major objections yet, I think the proposal is to start that officially, and this would be our last meeting until February 14th.
One thing I would do is I would push it out one more week after February 14th because that's when the Verifiable Credential Working Group's meeting in person.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to make it difficult.
Yep. Thank you. Yep. So
21?
Yeah, let's just issue a correction to the list at the end of the meeting to note that there was consensus to pause calls until the 21st, and that you can still file issues, open pull requests, et cetera, and work. We're just not going to have regular meetings until the 21st.
Great. That went smooth enough. Thanks for pitching in, Ori. Cool. Let's dive in on the. So, any other announcements before we kind of kick it off? All right. So,
we may need to modify the CCG calendar to remove it because I know a lot of people rely on that calendar for the next five calls or something.
Yep. So the action there is to send announcement to the list and modify the calendar accordingly.
Yeah. I think of us, it's only Mike who's able to do this, unless anybody else has access.
I am happy to send the announcement, but I wouldn't know how to do or.
I'll ping Mike. I'll ping offline.
Okay. So I'll send out the email announcing this. Good. Well, anything else? All right.
I was looking at the issues, and it's exciting. We don't have any open pull requests, and we have only a few issues. So I'm hoping this grooming session we can actually cull the issues all the way down so that maybe as part of the planning work we can add newer, fresher issues. But actually, in terms of issues for this repo, we're looking in pretty good shape, which suggests that, you know, we should be able to make some good progress on issue grooming. We should be able to get through the whole list on the call today, either closing things or making room for new planning in the future.
For sure. Before we go there, though,
I'm going to put myself on the queue because I did merge an APR this morning that was on interop. It was a very small editorial typo fix, and that was the only thing that we had on that repo. So I went ahead and merged it. It was just one word accidentally fix. That was it.
Okay. Didn't even notice. Thanks for calling it out. But before we, before we dive into the issues and interrupt, let's just merge some vocab pull requests. We have a bunch, starting from the below. The first one is 682, which is from me. And this is another one of those narrowing where we don't kind of explode in order to prevent that the use of common generic objects like organization explodes into everything that an organization can be. It's narrowing down what's relevant to a particular credential. We've done it before. There will be more later on. This is for the master bill of lading. Mahmoud, I'm seeing you are asking something.
Yeah, which is a thing you just responded to, which is basically this: a carrier as newly defined is basically just an organization with a more specific subset of properties.
Yep, yeah.
So I wanted to double check that I'm reading that right. Okay.
Great. Plenty of approvals. Any objections? Or can I merge? Great. The button is clicked. The next one is from me as well. That's 683. And this was in response to issue 574. And I decided to just do all of them, including those that aren't ours. It was a pretty easy find replace. So it takes out the www from schema.org. Again, three approvals. That's enough. Any objections to merging? Cool. Done. Ted, thanks for joining. Good to see you. The next one is 684. This was also in response to one of those issues. Let me just remind myself. This was, yeah, some incorrect YAML syntax. That became part of the term, so that messed it up. One of the findings from Vladimir. So same story. Three approvals. Any objections to merging 684? Great. That's done. One more for me, 685. This is same narrowing down. This is on invoice and purchase order. The reason I decided to do them, both of them in one pull request is that they have a lot of overlap on the parties. So I kind of used that snippet, pattern, and they're using those same snippets for the parties. So that's why it's a little bigger than it had to be. I'm seeing two approvals. That's good. Any objections to merging 685? Perfect. Thanks for the third approval there. All right. The next one is from Russell, 686. Russell, Russell's not here. Chris, do you know what 686 is about?
I'm afraid I'm not familiar with it. I actually just pinged him to see if he's joining, but he appears to be offline.
I looked at this. It seems like it's basically removing erroneous usage of at type. So there's several sort of scenarios where we're identifying the IRI of the predicate, and then we're also adding the type of the value of the predicate, and he's removing the type of the value of the predicate pieces, which just alters the RDF graph you get from the data to not include that type information.
Yeah.
And most likely the reason is that the type information is either not helpful or it's reducing the value of reusable queries in some way, but I would need him to answer specifically why he wanted to remove it.
Yeah. So it seems like he's removing all, like he's touching.
On some of them, the type and the ID did not match up. So for example, if you go to ag activity, it has an ID of traceability person with an at type of item list. Whereas some of the other ones like ag product has an item list at ID with an at type of also item list. So they're not all like one size fits all for all of them.
Yeah. And in, if you're using identifiers from schema.org, they have kind of their own opinion about the relationship between a property or a predicate and types. So I suspect that this is just removing inconsistencies in that regard in most places.
All right.
This, I just added myself to the queue for this. This is in reference to issue 569, where Vladimir pointed out that the use of type here was incorrect. And Russell has opted to remove them and leave correct implementation of that type for future PRs.
That's great. Thank you. Great input. Cool. I'm good to merge this. Any objections to merging it? Cool, let's do it. Let's see what else. There was one more here. 687. That's Russell as well. Wasn't this? This was similar. Yeah, this one I remember seeing. Isn't this more of the same, or is it?
This appears to be more very similar. Yeah. He referenced the same issue, saying he'd like to just remove them, and okay, new PRs can be added to do it correctly.
I wonder, Mahmoud, if the ones you mentioned on your comment there, is that what's in the other, the PR before?
Yeah. Or? No, okay. These are, let me just open it. This is 687. And the ones that I have mentioned is that, there are some, I'm trying to find it, because they're in 569 as well. Oh, actually they are, hang on, maybe I misread this. Sorry, just give me 1 second. Let me try it.
Sure. Remember. Yeah. The other one.
No, I think you're right. I think they are the ones that we fixed before. I think the mistake I made was I just saw them using from multiple issues.
Okay.
Yeah. Chris, looks like it covers it. Yep.
Chris, he's not actually addressing the same issue. The one before was 569. This one is 572.
Correct.
So I guess there's some, yeah.
But the actions he took were the same. That's why he cross-referenced. He opted to simply remove the at type and not do it correctly.
Okay.
Sorry. I realized what my mistake was. In 571, which 572 refers to 571. And 5.7.1 points out incorrect usage in multiple different areas as well. Which I have a partial fix for in the next PR.
I see.
6.8.9. Yeah. So this does not fix 5.7.1. It fixes 5.7.3, which 5.7.1 depends on. So 5.7.1 is still open, but all the others can be closed.
Okay. Let's just agree that we merge 6.8.7 now. We have 3 approvals. All good on that? Cool. And then we want to close 5.7.2. Issue 5.7.2. Is that correct?
Number? Yes. 5.7.2 is good to close. 5.7.1 cannot be closed. 5.7.0 is the next PR that we're going to talk about. It's a bit weird because they all depend on each other, but yeah.
All right.
Would help out 5.6.9.
Yeah. 1 second. Let me. Sorry. 5.6.9.
Let me just.
That one should be good to go. That one is done. Well, actually, I don't know if we want to call it done because all we did was the half work of removing the type, but not the fixing the type, right?
Yeah. My preference would be that we track adding types independently on a case-by-case basis. So I think it's correct to remove the erroneous use of type first and then add type back where it's providing real value. And we should identify specific RDF types where alignment does provide real value. Like, I'm thinking there's a really popular schema.org RDF type that, you know, we want to make sure we have direct alignment that's, you know, so the graph has query interoperability around that property, for example. So I think that should be identified on a case-by-case basis, and then unique tickets should be attributed to the credential where you want that type interoperability. So like in an e-commerce setting, if you're talking about a credential that's on an e-commerce website that's making use of schema.org terms, that would be a good example of like you really want the schema.org type to come through on that node.
I missed the last bit about the e-commerce prescribing. Would you be able to?
Sure. So in the context of an e-commerce credential on a website, if you wanted query interoperability on Google Knowledge Graph, then you'd want the schema.org type to be included in the representation. And then you'd want the context to define the type the same way that schema.org defines the type so that Google Knowledge Graph could query the content properly.
Okay. So 5.6.9 is closed as well. It's going well. So back to the last pull request, 6.8.9.
Yeah, so CI is failing because I did not update the credentials that these depend on. So I don't know why that is.
I think you can just rerun the script, like rerun credentials.
Yeah, I think I just did not do that the delta. So if we're okay with merging later on once I rerun that, I can go ahead and do that. If not, this can wait a week. I guess we don't have a week because we're waiting for next.
Yeah,
I think. Speaking of, how do we want to do that?
We want to probably merge pull requests after a week's worth of review with no objections, as we normally would. And, we want to use the mailing list, to ask questions or surface anything that's critical. That's probably what we would like to do.
Okay. if everyone's happy, I can merge this in once that CI is running. And we'll follow what Ori just said about trying to work, you know, remote for the next 4 weeks, so to speak.
Yeah. I give it a day to get comments in. Make sure you have two approvals. Great. Well, that's it then. Mahmoud, I left you a comment on 689. So let's switch over to back over to interop and issues. There's 17 of them. We can do this. Here's the query. First one is 307. There. Ben, you created this.
Let's confirm it's still an issue first.
Let's see. Yep. I if this is the one I think it is still an issue. We have Present Exchange OAuth. This is a presentation that doesn't have a README like the other ones. I think this is still valid. I am assigned to it. I will create a ticket and then find time to work on this.
Awesome.
Good.
I just confirmed it is still a valid issue.
All right. Next is 438, cloud wallets, Ori, from you.
All right, sorry, trying to open Wallet Foundation. Right, I gave a presentation on our work to them. The Linux Foundation is still sorting out their work streams, but I think just a quick update from the way the call went on Monday, it is looking like they're almost to the point where they'll take code contributions. And we've heard from folks that the VC API is and the data models associated with are one of the kinds of code contributions that there's at least two regular Open Wallet Foundation members who are interested in. So that would be the company Gen, which was previously Avast, which was previously SecureKey, and Transmuted. So we're both regulars on those calls. And the belief here is that the API did actor test harness that we use to help develop the interop tests might be accepted as an input item at some point, or the SecureKey implementation, which produces equivalent data models, might be accepted at some point. So I'll leave an issue. I'll leave comments on this particular issue. Long story short is, you know, at the point at which the Linux Foundation's finished with their setup process, we might want to take some of this trace interop call time to briefly talk about what moving that repo, the API did actor repo, which we use to ensure conformance to the test suites that are this work item, what moving that to the Linux Foundation would look like and what the benefits would be, et cetera. So I think we should hold on to this ticket, and I'll leave updates on the issue.
All right. Let's carry on. The third on the list is 453. Here.
So this is one of mine. This is a ticket to modify the schema to allow the possibility that the request body for a credentials verify request will represent a JWT. Right now, verifiable credential can't be a string. There are some implementations like the Aries that will take a look at verifiable credential if it's a string, see if it's a valid JWT, and if so, process it as such. We currently can't do that with the schema as written, so this is just to modify that. And if no one objects, I'd like to make this ready for PR.
All What is the... Sorry, what did you say?
Sorry, I just need a second to internalize this before we give it ready for PR.
How does it relate to the 447 that's referenced, Chris?
Let me just take a look.
Oh, yeah.
So this is really saying, if a valid JWT was presented to /credential/verify, we should account for that and accept it as part of our interrupt test. Is that a good way to rephrase it?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, that's a +1 for me.
Alright, well, it sounds, so let's, would this be a good pull request if, thanks for signing yourself, Chris. Would there be objections to merging this kind of thing? Great. So you're not wasting your time, Chris. Let's label it. I can give it a pull request label. There. Ready for PR. GitHub did the thing. The next one is 460, right? Please correct me if that's wrong.
That's correct. Yep.
Good. Chris, that's for me.
This one has to do with updating the respec doc to add some changes that have already been added to some of our various documentation files in the repo, specifically around how Postman collections can be imported for those folks who want to take part in the interop testing. The documents have been updated, like the markdown docs, but the respec has not. So that's what this ticket is for.
Great one. Definitely support that. I suggest we give that a ready for PR as well.
And I have, I tagged Mahmoud and Ori. If you have any guidance on, how this might be represented in the respec, like where it should go, that would be helpful.
Sorry, are you linked to 459, which is just an update to include a link to the Postman collection from our base readme, right? I don't...
459.
Oh, sorry.
Where do you see that?
I don't know what happened there. No, sorry, 393. 363, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 363 basically says, update readme to link to Postman collection, which I believe is fully done and covered, right?
That is correct.
What you're saying is, our respec should have all of the updates that are available on our readme. Where should we put those? Is that the question?
Yeah, and I don't know that all of our updates in the readme is necessarily true, but at least the bits about how to import and use the Postman collection.
So you mean like which section of the respec is what? That's the question, right?
My most recent question, yes, is where should this go in the respec?
Yeah. And my suggestion would be to make a call what seems logical, and we can always move it around. That's pretty simple. That would be my advice.
Sure. I mean, if nobody has any preferences or guidance, I can wing it, and you know, we can talk about it in the PR.
Yeah.
I think that's probably where we are.
Great. Let's. Would you be willing to assign yourself, Chris?
Yeah, there you go.
Beautiful. Okay. The next one is 646. Workflow session should be more generic. Oh, yeah. This was feedback from international colleagues. I think Steve Capel mentioned this, that our workflow section also in the respec is very US oriented with, you know, US pride and flags and all that stuff that you guys can do. I did it, so I'm allowed to criticize. So he was asking if we could make it a bit more generic and not make it US oriented, which I think is fair.
I don't know that it's I think it's totally fair, but the mechanism for accomplishing that should be describing concrete workflows that we understand to be relevant. And so I think we should track converting it in that context and not in the context of just removing the flair that we've already got. We should be adding new diverse flair that speaks to the use cases he's interested in. And also contributions take time and effort. So if he's volunteering to contribute, we welcome that contribution.
Sorry. Is his request basically saying, hey, we have too much stuff that says US CBP on it. Can we make that more generic? And, or he's saying, can we not make it more generic? Can we just add more?
You know,
other things. Yeah. That's definitely plus one on my side. We should add more things. I like how concrete it is. I think that's a very good place to be. I don't want to lose that. Yeah.
I agree. That's what I was trying to say. But I, you know, if he wants to create issues and he wants help from us refining them to the point where we could, you know, cover Australia, for example, hypothetically, great. Let's get a discussion going on the issue, figure out how to get to that point concretely without, you know, removing the value that's already embedded.
Yeah. I think there is we have to put our sales hats on this. I don't know if getting that, I'll ask, but I don't know if it's even really understood what our workflows are for. That would be my worry. But I'll assign myself in this and I'll go and search for better, some good suggestions.
Unfortunately, I do have to drop. Ben, if you could take over. Thanks, sure. Guys. I'll talk to you all soon.
Hit scribe minus on your way up, I think.
Yes.
All right. See you, Mamu. So we're at 457.
Yep. So 457 is a very long conversation. The primary issue here is that folks who use Azure AD for their OAuth, it is impossible for them to currently pass tests because Azure AD requires scopes to follow a very specific naming format. And we cannot mandate that they use things like resolve colon dids, et cetera, because that won't work. It's not possible to do that in Azure. So the proposal here was initially to make scope be a parameter for the Postman tests so that each system under test can specify what scopes are required in order for the test to be able to proceed. Ori pointed out that this makes testing interop impossible because we can't mandate that specific scopes are used. And I agree with that, but unless we want to mandate that everyone use the scopes that Azure AD requires, then we can't do that anyway unless we want to exclude folks from using Azure. So one of the default behaviors for machine-to-machine OAuth implementations, specifically the one that Auth0 uses and definitely some others, is to automatically grant all scopes available whenever a client authenticates. And my suggestion here is that we fall back to that and mandate that all implementations grant all scopes, and additionally allow an extra optional parameter so that folks using Azure AD can say, hey, when you do the authentication, the scope request must contain this string. And for folks who aren't using Azure AD, they simply leave that blank. No scope option is included in the body to authenticate, and all scopes are granted. That's a lot of info dump, so please ask your questions.
So I just pinged friends at Microsoft this issue again. I've pinged them before on it to get them to weigh in on the issue, hopefully. I don't feel comfortable making any changes until they've commented on it. I mean, they're okay. In the digital identity space. We've all got good relationships. There should be some advice from them before we concretely action on it. I've pinged them. Hopefully we'll get a response from them. But I think just to sort of workshop towards where I think we might head eventually here is we probably want to take the, if you're capable of validating, you still get some coverage path so that we keep the strong security posture from folks who can validate conformance at a more fine-grained level. And then we make a flag that sort of says, well, if you can't validate scopes at that level, then you don't have to. And we add a warning to the respec document about that, basically saying, you know, this security profile has the ability to show conformance and validation scopes. However, implementations, you know, might pass this profile without that level of validation. And here's the way in which you decide which one you want. And, you know, we recommend that you validate scopes so that you can be seen to be interoperable at that layer. Something like that in the respec document, and some changes to the tests so that people don't have to jump through hoops to pass them. So it's sort of, I think, a version of what you said, Chris, but just kind of concretely getting to the point where we say, we document the behavior in the respec document and we add a flag that lets you turn off the strict scope interoperability testing for, you know, tenants that aren't based on Auth0 and Okta, aka Azure AD.
I think that sounds like a great solution if we could get Microsoft to weigh in, and, you know, if we can steer that ship, that would be amazing. So yeah, let's, I'm open to waiting for that until we meet again next time and read.
The key to getting them to weigh in is commenting on the issue, describing that we're likely to put a warning in about Azure AD behavior in this regard, and then they will have an interest in shaping that warning, certainly. And so if they can see some of how we're thinking about approaching it, they're more likely to comment than if they don't really understand what it is that we're doing. So as soon as they see we're about to warn people about Azure AD not having the same kind of security posture as Okta and Auth0, they're going to give us better feedback than what they're, I don't think they understand exactly how this is going to impact them currently. We should make that clear.
Got it. Okay. So would you mind adding a comment to that effect, or
do you want me to spend all of this time speaking in a recorded call? Can't we record? We send them a link to the minutes. I will add a comment on the issue. And as I just mentioned, I did ping them the issue again.
Okay. You can copy and paste some of that from what I just described.
I'm going to
manage to get it right. All right.
Cool. Let's see. Moving on to 454. Chris, that's from you.
454, right. Okay, so this, I believe, came out of an issue with some of the VC API testing, where options type property in a credentials issue request is no longer conformant with what VCAPI is doing. And my proposal here was to remove that. Ori had some comments regarding what that would mean if we removed it and suggested we adopt VCJWT as a proof format at the same time we did this, if we choose to do it. Ori, then you mentioned some stuff about headers. Do you want to comment on that?
Trying to take notes on the previous item. Right, to options behavior. Yeah, so acknowledging that the X prefix is, yeah, that's not a thing. I think the original... What's the desire here? The intention is for implementers of this profile to demonstrate an issuance capability in data integrity and in VCJWT. The VCAPI in the CCG, that work item, as far as I'm aware, still does not have any support for JWT, but our profile has some support for it. I think the reason headers came up was basically as an experimental opt-in approach to this problem, where if you want to experimentally opt in to being able to demonstrate a capability, then you could use headers to communicate that. I think it's, from a long-term viability perspective, not a good solution to that problem, and instead the post-body argument should allow for the caller to indicate the type of credential they want issued. And so I'm saying it's an option that should be an option.
Got it. Okay. So this will, so then anyone who implements this, without any changes, will fail any of the tests, that are being run for VCAPI in that respect because they don't pass options. So should we, perhaps make that optional and have the implementation choose a value if it's not specified, or do we want to leave it as required? And
I don't like optional parameters generally. I prefer required parameters where the caller has to be explicit about their intention. That's my preference.
Okay, so this will break performance with VCAPI. Are we okay with doing that?
Yeah, that's, I think we should be okay with doing that in the case where we feel like we have a good security justification for restricting down optionality, which I think we do in this case.
Well, this is more than restricting optionality. They don't use that property at all, and we require it.
They implicitly issue credentials of a type that's implicitly known to the caller. And the optionality there is embedded in that decision. They could decide, you know, this issuer does JSON Web Signature 2020 today, and tomorrow it does 2022. And since there's no option to ask for which version, you just call the API and you don't know what you're going to get back because that's the API implementer's decision.
Right. Okay. I don't have a problem with that. My main issue here was that it didn't seem to match up with what they were doing. So if we want to go ahead and leave this in as required, I'm happy to put a comment to that effect and run with it.
Yeah, I think that's what we want to do for several reasons, but unless there's a strong objection to that, I think that's what we want to do.
All right, then I will close with comments.
Excellent. All right. Let's see, that was 454. Next is 475. Yeah, I came across all these JSON schemas that have been produced recently. And it seems like an interesting source of content that we could wrap verifiable credentials around. I can only very generally talk about, actually, my first thought is, should this not be on vocab, not on interop? I'm kind of thinking I'm in the wrong repo with this issue.
Yes, agreed.
But
this is definitely the wrong repo for it.
Yeah.
You can move it. You can hit the transfer issue button underneath pin issue in the bottom right-hand corner. And then it should be groomed as part of the regular vocab issues.
Nice. All right. You know what? Okay. That's really simple. I've never tried that. That's super cool. All right. That's moved.
Apologies for jumping in. But we're getting close to the end. Sure. Can we jump to 482 just to make sure we discuss that today?
Definitely.
It's the last one.
Yeah. We only had one in between as far as I could see. Here, 482. Want to introduce it?
Yeah, so this is something that Mike brought up with me. And right now our spec indicates that we are supporting revocation list 2020. And my question is it time to update that to status list 2021?
Given that we just saw the context is unresolvable for status list 2021 in a related issue, is it fixed?
It was fixed yesterday. It's peculiar. It had been around since May.
Yeah. So,
and then someone else was looking at it like literally a few minutes before. Manu fixed it. It's fixed now.
Yeah. So it's just moved to the verifiable credentials working group. I think this is indicating several things that are related to this, but I also have been bitten by trying to implement support for something that's just moved to a working group, and then the working group just takes the entire thing apart, and I'm not interested in having that happen. I'd rather the working group get it a bit further along before we decide we don't really support it. So my preference would be to hold on to the issue, not plan to implement any changes to it until the verifiable credentials working group has published a FPWD for it or some similar level of reasonable stability. And it doesn't, obviously we're not going to wait for candidate recommendation or technical recommendation on it, but I think waiting for at least an FPWD seems like a natural, safe space for us to help get it to. And it's certainly contributing to the work item now that it's a formal work item would be advisable.
I'm sorry, Ori, I'm not familiar with FPWD. Can you tell me what that is?
So it's first public working group draft, and it's so we're in a community group. The documents we create aren't standards. There may be standards track, but they're community drafts. When a document moves to a regular working group of the W3C, it's then intended to be delivered as a technical recommendation or a note. A technical recommendation is a W3C standard. In order to become a technical recommendation, you need to go through candidate recommendation. In order to go through that, you have to go through FPWD.
Got it. Thank you.
All right. I made a comment. I hope kind of captures it.
I had a quick question. This issue doesn't say, but are there motivations to update like functionality that's required for these interop flows, or is this just staying
There is one, which is the ability to have a single credential support both suspension and revocation, but that behavior isn't even defined like fully. And so that's actually a big reason not to go do the work yet, is like kick the working group to finish figuring that out. Let them get to FPWD, and then as part of our implementation update, find example credentials that are where suspension and revocation is of interest. And we do know of some credentials that are in that category already. So I feel like it's, we understand this is a valuable thing to move to. We're just hesitant to chase a bleeding edge.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree. Unless there's some feature we desperately need for the flows that we have.
All right, we can do one more. 479, Chris from you. Examples that contain proofs. Why do they need, how does this surface as a problem?
So this is, in our spec, we have a bunch of examples, which include proofs, and we've made changes to the spec that have modified the content of those examples, but have not change the signatures, and it just seemed like bad form to have an invalid credential. Definitely. As an example.
And what, which, like, can you reference those examples?
I can modify this later to do that, but off the top of my head, no, I can't.
Oh, okay.
On a related point, I think our code generation that includes credentials with proofs, we might want to leverage the VC API, the VC working group has a respec plugin that supports turning a credential into a verifiable credential in JWT and data integrity proof format. And I think we probably want to implement that exactly as it exists to remove any concerns of bias, which have been raised several times at this point regarding data integrity items in the VC API. And it's probably why the VC API might not move to that working group for some time. So I think a preference here would be to solve this problem elegantly in a way that's inclusive of JWT as well. So we can kind of get two birds with one stone. We can update broken examples cleanly, maybe improve some of the tooling, and also be more inclusive.
Okay, sounds good. Do you feel like we can move this to ready to PR, or does this require more details on which specific examples need to be changed?
I think it would apply to every example that has a proof in it, correct?
That's my understanding.
I will include a link in a comment.
Are we also talking about trace vocab here?
I was not.
Oh, I was. Yeah, you're right. It is sort of weird that we're even talking about proofs in this document.
And that's why I think we need, Chris, we do need those links. And probably what you said, Ori, mostly belongs on trace as a separate issue on trace vocab. Chris, it's really unclear where, like, because we don't really keep credentials around. Is it like in collections or is this?
Well, if you look at the Open API specification, so for example, off the top of my head, probably the presentation's proof will contain verifiable credential with a proof in it.
We want to update that so that it supports JSON Web Tokens. We want the API documentation not to perpetuate bias. We want the respec document to refer to the vocabulary as much as possible. Definitely the respec document for this item shouldn't have stuff that's competing with or overwriting or overruling the vocabulary. I've included a link to the example in the VC working group of this this thing that Manu built to help with that problem.
Nice. Great. Well, we're at time now. I think we only have one left, but that's just too bad. We did pretty good. So let's wrap this up, and just one more reminder, we will not see each other for another month-ish. So February 21st is the date to look forward to. And meanwhile, let's keep on the awesome work and make tons of progress. And yeah, thank you, and I'll see you later.
All right. I will take care of publishing the minutes.
Thank you. I was assuming that. Thank you for calling out my assumption. And I will wait for you all to drop, or I will kick you and close.
Excellent. And stop recording, of course.
All right. See you, Chris.
Bye.